Welcome to our Together on Mission podcast, where we seek to be with and like Jesus. Your host is Travis Twineman, the lead pastor at the Inland Vineyard Church in Corona, California. In this season of the podcast, we friends that are friends of Jesus begin a conversation with Jesus in the morning through a gospel passage, prayer, meditation, and then we continue that conversation with Jesus throughout the day and discover yet again how wonderful, amazing, and irresistible Jesus of Nazareth truly is.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Together on Mission podcast, where, at least in this season, we are friends that are friends of Jesus, and we're doing what friends that are friends of Jesus do every morning. We're starting our morning with Jesus, and the way I like to start every Monday morning podcast is by welcoming anybody that's new to the podcast. Since I always, or almost always, on Sunday say something like, hey, I'll see you tomorrow on the podcast, we probably have people that are tuning in for the first time. So if you are, we are so thrilled that you're here. You're going to need a Bible, a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, a journal, a spot, a place you can count on. And what we do is we read a passage and talk about it for a bit, and then we move into a time of prayer, meditation, just being with Jesus. But we don't say amen at the end of that time in the morning, because this conversation is going to continue throughout the day, because friends get to be friends throughout the day, whatever happens, wherever God takes us. And so that's what we're learning as friends that are friends of Jesus. And so you can turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. And the title of the podcast this morning is No Grandkids, because God has no grandkids. He has kids, he has sons and daughters, but he has no grandkids. And that may feel like an odd way to put it, but a few people, specifically Richard Rohr and others, have put it that way. And so that is the way we're going to put it, at least for this podcast. And the question that I want to ask us, and if you're new with us, I always ask a question just to get us into the space that this passage wants to bring us into. But the question is, who do you say that I am? And of course, when I say I am, I don't mean I, Travis. This is a question that Jesus is about to ask his disciples. Who do you say that I am? And Jesus is about to ask his disciples this question, this important question, maybe the most, let me back up, the most important question that can be asked. Who do you say that I am? And of course, many of you have heard famous C.S. Lewis quote, Jesus is either a liar or a lunatic or exactly who he said he was. So who do you say that Jesus is? Is he a great teacher? You know, is he the guy that my parents or that my grandparents seem to be really, really into? Is he the lover of my soul? Is he the icon for, you know, modern, you know, Christian America or not so Christian America, however you see, you know, the religion of America? Who do you say that Jesus is? And so we're going to look at Mark chapter 8, short passage, and Mark is the first gospel written. In theological circles, this would be called the priority of Mark, which basically means that Mark was written first, priority, and Matthew and Luke used Mark as kind of the basic storyline, and then Luke and Matthew added their special material, but used Mark's historical narrative. And Mark is the shortest gospel, and Mark's a fast gospel. I mean, Mark's got Jesus and his disciples going from Galilee to Jerusalem, and Mark's favorite word, Greek word, is ethos, immediately, and Jesus immediately went here, and immediately did this, and immediately did that. So it's like a whistle-stop tour from Galilee to Jerusalem. And in this particular passage, Jesus and his disciples are in a place called Caesarea Philippi. And we pick up in Mark chapter 8, verse 27, Jesus and his disciples went on to the village around Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked them, who do people say that I am? They replied, well, some say John the Baptist, obviously raised from the dead, because John the Baptist had been beheaded by this time. Others say Elijah, you know, great Old Testament prophet. Still others say one of the prophets. verse 29, but what about you? He said, who do you say that I am? Peter answered, you are the Messiah. And then Jesus warned them not to tell anybody about him. Now, it's interesting that Jesus begins with the question, who do people say that I am? Right? And that's actually where Jesus starts. And that's a good place to start. It's actually a safe place to start, right? Who do other people say that Jesus is? Because that's when we can talk about and think about, well, what do my parents say about Jesus? What do my grandparents say about Jesus? What does my pastor say about Jesus? What does America say about Jesus? Or we can go to great, you know, authors. What does Albert Schweitzer or N.T. Wright, you know, say about Jesus? And it's a great place to start. And honestly, when we're young, it's the only thing that matters. Because, of course, we're going to think about Jesus the way that the important people in our lives think about Jesus. And that's, well, that can be good or bad, but at least that's where it starts, right? That's how it works. But then there comes a time where that safe question, what do other people say about me, has to become a much more risky question, a much more, you know, direct question. Verse 29, but what about you? What do you say, or who do you say that I am? That's where the rubber really meets the road. And God has no grandchildren. In other words, God has no relationship with us through another person. God has kids or grandkids, but God has no grandchildren, as some people have said. And this is the moment, right, where the gospel comes home to us, and we get to decide what to do as we discover that the kingdom of God is at hand. And that we can reach out and grab hold, maybe like our parents did, or like our parents did, or like, you know, some of the historical figures that we respected, or like our pastor did. But there comes a time where we get asked this question, who do you say that I am? And that's actually when the journey begins. Not simply believing everything that we have believed just because we were in relationship with wonderful people that have believed certain things about Jesus. It's an invitation to re-see Jesus, right? To reimagine, to rehear, to refollow Jesus afresh, because God doesn't have grandkids. He has sons, he has daughters. And then I love, you know, at the end of verse 29, Peter answers, you're the Messiah. In Greek, it's su ha Christos. You are the Messiah. You are the Christ. And that's bold. I mean, to say that's bold. When Jesus says, who do you say that I am? And you look at Jesus and you say, you're the Christ. That's risky. That's bold. That changes everything. And I think that sometimes we prefer the safer question, who do other people, or what do other people think about Jesus? Because it keeps Jesus at arm's distance. You know, it's not near as bold or as risky as who do you say that I am, right? But who do you say that I am changes everything. Nothing can remain the same. Nothing ever can remain the same. Peter says, you are the Messiah. And I think that maybe even right now, some of us are having this Caesarea Philippi moment. Like maybe right now, the question is shifting from who do other people say that I am? Who do your parents or your grandparents or your church, or who does America say that to who do you say that I am? And what's your answer? Right? What's our answer? And some of us may say, well, God, I don't know. I'm not really sure. Well, what does Jesus always say to people? Does he say, well, you need to know, you know, you need to be sure right now? You know, no, he doesn't say that. He says, seek and you'll find. He says, you know, knock and the door will be open to you. He says, you know, follow me, put my words into practice and see if I'm right about this whole abundant life thing. In other words, Jesus is always telling people, hey, give it a shot. Sign up for my program, become my disciple, be my apprentice. See if what I say is true. See if my words you know, set you free. Now, you know, the other side of the coin, and if we're parents or grandparents or leaders, you know, this is going to, we're going to feel this one a little bit. The other side of the coin is that we can't ensure that our kids or our grandkids will be head over heels in love and devoted to Jesus. And that can be a really difficult thought for a parent or a grandparent, you know, or a leader. And the reality is, we as parents and grandparents get to experience what God's experiencing all the time. Because God's kids have the freedom to love and follow or go their own way. You know, so we can model and we can pray and we can talk, but we can't force. God doesn't force. Force is never, ever love. And so the question presses, who do you say that I am? And so today I just want this question, I guess, to become extremely personal. Again, maybe right now some of us are having that Caesarea Philippi moment. Maybe at a moment sometime today we're going to have that Caesarea Philippi moment. But it's time for us to stop functioning out of what my parents, what my grandparents, what America, what this author, what this pastor says. It's about who do you say that I am? And the answer that Peter gives is you are the Christ. And Peter was never the same ever again. And neither will we be. We'll talk tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Together on Mission podcast. We hope you were blessed and encouraged by it today. If you had any questions about the Inland Vineyard Church, our ministries, or our Sunday services, feel free to connect with us on social media platforms like Facebook and Instagram, or check out our website at inlandvineyard.org.